The failed attacks come just days after former Chancellor of the Exchequer Gordon Brown took over as the new British Prime Minister last week. The son of a Scottish Presbyterian minister, Brown took over as head of the British government after serving for 10 years as right-hand man to his close friend and colleague Tony Blair. Moving into No. 10 Downing Street with his wife Sarah, Brown said his priorities would be education, health and restoring trust in British politics.
There are obvious priorities for an incoming Prime Minister. People will be urging him on health and on education. I would be urging him on things like, I think, the family and the help and support he can give for the primacy of family in the social life of Britain.
As Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor is watching closely to see what changes the new Prime Minister will be introducing and what sort of relationship he will look to create with religious leaders in Britain. The day after Gordon Brown took up his new job, I sat down with the Cardinal to discuss some of the challenges facing his government, as well as the legacy left by his predecessor, Tony Blair.
I do think that the voice of the Church, and indeed of many others, on matters of human dignity, on matters of the family, on matters also, to allow freedom in our secular society for religious people, Christians and other faiths, to be free not only to practice their religion, but also to contribute in the public forum to the common good.
There have been some notable tensions with the government over recent months, haven't there? How would you perhaps characterise this current stage of relations between the Church, the Catholic Church particularly, and the government?
Well, we've had some tensions of recent times concerning adoption agencies, concerning schools and the threat to our schools in the sense of having complete control over them. And these have been quite very strong, really. And in a way, the two issues illustrate two very important principles. The question of the adoption agencies is really a question of the primacy of the family, Catholic views about the best way to bring up children, and our conviction that to treat a homosexual couple as the same as a heterosexual couple is just would not be right. Now, it's important we say that, we say it clearly, and I think a vast number of people in Britain would agree with this, not in any way being homophobic. One doesn't want to be like that, of course. But at the same time, there are certain things which one needs to say. So it's a matter of really, in that, a principle which a state has a right to pass laws that there'll be no discrimination against homosexual people, right. But also, they mustn't, in passing such laws, discriminate also against religious bodies such as the Catholic Church in following out for the common good and in an excellent way the way in which their principles underlying their good work. Then the other point is, of course, about schools, and that we would very much value our Catholic schools, who are an important part of not just the education of Catholic children, but also, we believe, to the common good again, because young children and young men and women receive excellent education at Catholic schools. Excellent education not only for themselves, but also in the sense that they contribute to the common good. They're brought in to be good citizens, to be open to the development of the good of our country. So I would like the Prime Minister or his government to say, well, let's take away Catholic schools, church schools, because there are voices that say that there shouldn't be any and the government won't support them. I think they'd be very foolish to go in that direction. The new Prime Minister, and I've met him a number of times now, I have a great admiration for him, for his dedication especially to relieving the poverty of not just of children, but of people not only at home, but abroad, particularly in Africa. And in many ways, he's shown himself willing to go out of the way to say, this is a very, very big priority for me. It would not be nice to think that he can make Britain a model of how rich countries can contribute much more than they have done of their gross product for the sake of the poorest in the world, particularly in Africa, but elsewhere as well. And he's gone on record as saying that he's very much a priority. So I'm hopeful for the new office which he inherits. He has at least 2 years or more before he need call an election. So we'll see what he's going to do. But I think, on the whole, that he's the best choice, certainly, of the Labour Party. He's got in up unopposed. Therefore, I think the future is on his side at the moment. And my prayers and my good wishes go with him.
He is the son of a minister, isn't he, a Scottish minister. Do you think faith plays an important part in his life?
I don't know about his personal religious practice or sentiments. I cannot but think that some of the Scotch Presbyterian convictions reside somewhere in his soul. How he brings that out in his life, prayer or practice, I don't really know, and I haven't talked about it with him. But the Scots, you know, have that kind of, it's in some ways slightly a forbidding religiosity, you know, but what I like about it is that there's no nonsense about it. You know, this is a serious business, religion. And what I want, and it's very interesting in Britain at the moment, religion has been taken more seriously. And some of the attacks on religion by the atheists who've written books about God and religion and trying to deny it has only made religion in a way more prominent, make people think, well, there is something about religion which is important to life, something about faith that animates the people. And with regard to the Catholic community, I think it wakes up the Catholic community as well. If you're going to be a Catholic or a Christian in today's society, you shouldn't be a passive one. You've got to be one who witnesses to your faith by your prayer, by in your home, in the family, but also in public life, in any way that's open to you. And that's what I would hope for our Catholic community in Britain in the years ahead.
Again, there's been some tensions, hasn't there, between, as you say, private convictions, private religious convictions, and the way in which politicians are exercising these in the public sphere.
Well, there has, yes. I've mentioned the two recent ones. And it is a strange culture at the moment. And I suppose what we're asking for is for Christians, people of other faiths, to be free to exercise their freedom in terms of what they believe, how they act, in the public space, not to be privatized, not to be put in the periphery of society. That would be disastrous. And the fact of the matter, in Britain, as indeed other parts of Europe, there's still a Christian heritage, even though people don't practice their Christianity. But I notice that people in Britain, certainly always since my time of 30 years as a bishop, but particularly, of course, since I've come to Westminster, that people may not agree with the Catholic voice, but they accept the right of the Catholic voice to be heard and wouldn't want it not heard. There might be an aggressive group of secularists who'd say, no, we don't want to hear it at all. But I don't think that's true of the majority of people in Britain.
We've also seen Catholic politicians, though, over in particular the abortion legislation, saying that while their private views are one thing, their pragmatic political views may not necessarily be in line with church teaching. And this has caused problems with voices calling for them to be excluded, for example, from communion.
I think that it would be not right for bishops to say anybody who voted this way or that should be excluded from excommunicated. But I do think Catholic politicians have a duty to examine their conscience, to be informed about their faith and to act on that conscience. Now, how they do so is a decision they make. But I think bishops have got to be careful not to intrude too much into the political sphere, but should urge Catholic politicians, as I do, to be informed about their faith, to examine their conscience and to act according to it.
You've also been recently chatting with the outgoing Prime Minister, of course, Tony Blair. What would you say, if you had to perhaps sum up in some way his legacy to the country over the past 10 years, what would that be?
It's been a remarkable 10 years, really. And Tony Blair, whom I know quite well now, is a remarkable politician. His legacy to the country is perhaps, well, like most things, negative and positive. The positive is that I think people are rather not unhappy to live in that kind of society that Britain is today. And some of it is that due to his kind of attitude of letting people free to act as they think right. I think also there is the legacy of, as often people note it, his hard work, devoted work for the solution in Northern Ireland, which was a really great tribute to him, and then other work in Africa, and also, I mean, I think that although he wasn't able to do it, and in fact I wish he could have done more for the European community, he was up against quite a lot of opposition on that. But I think his heart is with making Britain have a strong and constructive voice in Europe, and I, for one, would heartily support that. Of course, the negative aspects, everyone will, of course, blame him for the Iraq war, and should he have done it. Then there's the whole question of some of the loosening of laws in England, and perhaps some of the laws which have been passed could have been more expressive, rather than trying to pass laws for every situation. Concentrate on the positive, if you like, whether it's in family life, whether it's in industry, whether it's in health, rather than try and solve every difficulty that comes up. But on the whole, he's left Britain economically healthy, socially so-so, religiously, but you can't blame Tony Blair for a decline in religion. You have to sort of blame people like me, I suppose, and others for that. But I think that what has happened in his 10 years is that somehow or other, the secularism that's become so much part of society has made Christians, and in particular Catholics, suddenly realise that you can't swim with the stream. You've got to swim against the stream in our culture today. And I also think that Tony Blair would be very much in tune with what the Holy Father says about the link between reason and faith and culture, and that you can't have a proper dialogue with people unless you're going to do so on a basis of reason and in faith, indeed, within the culture in which you live. And I think in his new job for the Middle East, I think it's a very exciting and challenging task for him, and we all, I think, wish him well.
There's a lot of interest, of course, in his purported interest in the Catholic Church. Can you say anything about that at all?
I wouldn't want to say any more, really, than he's done himself. I mean, he goes to Mass every Sunday, he prays, he is very, his wife, as you know, is a Catholic, and his children. So it's not surprising that people would think maybe he will enter into full communion with the Catholic Church. I think it's a private matter, I think it's a personal matter, and I think he will tell us when and if he wants to make that step.
My thanks there to the Archbishop of Westminster, Cormac Murphy O'Connor.